Okay, today's daf is Kelayim daf Samach Aleph, and we are on the last couple of lines in the sixth parak, going over from parak Izehu Aris to parak Hamavrich. But I ran out of time yesterday. I wanted to see over the Reb Chaim in Hilchas Chametzu Matzah. We spoke about the Kilei Akerim is one of the Nisrafin. Right, the Mishnah says at the end of Tumura that these are the Nikbarin and these are the Nisrafin. And the Gemara there, and Tosfos discusses it there, why is it that Nisrafin is Na'asis Mitzvah? So, well, that's the answer already. Why is Nisrafin mutter to get benefit from the Afer, from the ashes, after you did what you need to do by Nisrafin? But my Nikbarin is always Aser. So we spoke about the Nodi Behuda. But Tosfos quoted the principle of Na'asis Mitzvah, which comes up by Kachim, that once a mitzvah is done with an item, so then you're allowed to get hana. You're allowed to get benefit from it. So by Nikbarin, it's not really there's a mitzvah to bury, it's just more of a just removing the michshol. You don't want it to be around, so that's why there's no nasa b'tzvasa, and therefore it remains usur behana. Fine. So the question is, what about chametz? What about chametz on Pesach? So what's the background for this? This is the question of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The question of Rabbi Akiva Eiger is, he asks on the tour, right? We know there's a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about how do you get rid of chametz? The mitzvah of tashbisa, the mitzvah of destroying the chametz. What is the mitzvah? So machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That's the first Mishnah in the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, where the Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. Right, you have to burn it. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and he learns it out from Nosar in the Gemara. The Chum Omrim, af efar v'zora l'ruach o'mata l'yam. The Chum say, no, you can just crumple it up and crush it and throw it into the sea or throw it into the wind. So that is the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What do we paskin? We paskin l'chadchila Rabbi Yehuda b'di'evet Chachamim. Meaning, we all make fires on Erev Pesach, because we try to be machmer like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. But maker adin, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. You can get rid of it any way you want. Haraya, Erev Pesach, Shechal Yis B'Shabbos. Right? We don't burn it we burn it the day earlier. But, Shlo Tishtakach. But the day of, you know, one would be, could be Mefarer, Vizore LaRuach. So with that background, there's one question on the, there's a question on the Rambam and a question on the and try to answer Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha as well. The Rambam says in Perak Aleph Halacha Gimel Hilchos Chametzu Matzah, Ein Lokem Mishum Lo Yirev Lo Yimatzei Elam Kein Kana Chametz BePesach. Bal Yirev Yimatzei, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, I think also, is an interesting law. You get Malkus or not for Bal Yirev Yimatzei? Well, it depends if you did an action. That's the Rambam sheet. If you bought Chametz on Pesach, then you get to get Malkus. If you don't buy chametz on Pesach, you just had it in your house, so then one violates the Isser of Al Yerubba Yematzeh, but there's no malchus because it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. It's a lav without an action, and therefore you're not going to get malchus. Ask the Mefarshim, though, but one second. Besides the reason, we know there are a number of reasons why you wouldn't get malchus for an Avera. A lav she'ein bo maisa is one of them, right? If it's not similar to the lav of chasima, the lav of muzzling, you're not going to get malchus. So lav she'ein bo maisa, you're not going to get malchus. If you just have chametz in your house and you don't do anything with it, so then you're not going to get malchus. And what does the Rambam say, though? If you buy chametz on Pesach, you're going to get malchus. That's the Rambam Shita. But there's another reason you should be patur for malchus. Lav hanita klasei, right? It's a lav that can be fixed by an asei. Gezela, you don't get malchus because there's hashavas gezela. So here, there's a mitzvah burning the chametz. So you shouldn't get malchus for that reason also. V'kvar hikshu eich loke klal alavi delo yirev al yimatzei v'ipsachim tzadi hei mevur lehedya delav delo yirev al yimatzei havin lav anidak lasedet tashbisu v'kashal harambam shepazak tekubakon achamis ha-pesach havi maisev aloke v'tzorach iyun. First question of Reb Chaim, how could the Rambam say that there is a case that you're going to get malchus for chametz, for bal yirev al yimatzei, right? It's besides being a lav she'ein bo maisa, it's also a lav anidak lasei, and therefore you should be patur for that reason. Question one. Question two, which he uses to answer question one, but it's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. Right, the Torah quotes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that chametz mitzvaso b'sreifa, as we just said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in bir chametz ala b'sreifa, afro mutter. It's afer, is ashes or mutter. Once I burn the chametz, I could get benefit from the ashes, kiddin kol nisrafim de afer and mutter. Like all nisrafim. Right, like we just read that Mishnah in Temura. But according to the Rabbanan, that hashpasaso b'chol davar, afro asur kedin hanik barin. But according to the Rabbanan, the mitzvah is not to burn it, but just to get rid of it in any other way. So then, it's afer. According to the Rabbanan, the afer is still going to be asur. But answer Rabbi Akiva Eiger 1 minute. According to what Tosfos says, the reason that Efer is mutter is because na'asis mitzvasan. So this is also na'asis mitzvasan. It's just a different way of doing the mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the mitzvah of Tashmisu is burning it. According to the Rabbanan, the mitzvah of Tashmisu is destroying it in any way. But they're both na'asis mitzvaso. They both have done what they're supposed to do. And what was Tosfos' Yesod that we just mentioned yesterday? Whenever you have a principle of you fulfilled the mitzvah, so then it's not asur anymore. Na'asis mitzvaso. So whether you burn it, whether you destroy it in any other way, you should say na'asis mitzvaso, and you could get benefit. It's not nikbar. Nikbar, and we said there's no mitzvah. It's just a preventative. Mashenki nikbarin deleka shum mitzvah bikvurasan. V'rakmi shum takala. V'lavi nasas mitzvason. So v'yim kein, ask Reb Chaim. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger on the tour. Right? B'chametz, gamim hashpazos b'chol davar. Even according to Rabbanon, it's nasas mitzvason. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashmisu. So even according to Rabbanon, you should say afron mutter. You should say the ashes is mutter after you fulfilled it. So that's the kasha of Rabbi Kiva Eger on the tour. So says Rabbi Chaim to answer up the second question, and then to answer up the first question. Venira, delo dami hamitzvah shel tashbisu tashbasa. Well, first of all, look, is the in that Mishnah in Temura, right? Is chametz mentioned according to Rabbi Yehuda? Like, would that be one of the nisrafin? And the Rabbanon, it's not one of the nikbarin, so it's something else. So what does that tell us? So venira, delodami hamitzvah shel tashbisu tashbasasa b'chal davar l'mitzvah sreifa. Don't compare the mitzvah according to the Rabbanan and the mitzvah according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not just, it's the same mitzvah, you just do it in different ways. It's totally a different mitzvah. It's a totally different understanding of what tashbisu is about. The mitzvah tashbisu b'sharei hashbasos havi ikar mitzvah shelo yiyu la'bailam chametz. Is it what we would call a maisa or a tosah? According to the Rabbanan, the Ikar of Tashbisu, the fact that you can get rid of it in any way possible means the Ikar is not to have chametz in your house. Not that you must destroy chametz, but the Ikar is not to have chametz in your house. The Minchas Chinuch also made this chakira famous, but this is how Rabbi Chaim says it. Masha'en kein, in mitzvaso b'sreifa, havi mitzvah shechal b'chefse shel chametz, dechal bo din sreifa. You might say it's a totsah versus a chefse. Right, in the Reb Chaim's Lashon. It's that this item is screaming out to be burned. Right, there's a chada, the chi of sreifa on this item. That's Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Rabbanan, there's no chi of hashpasaso b'chol davar. There's a chi of to get rid of it out of your house. Ulenin hetter the nasas mitzvaso, and regarding the principle of tosfos of nasas mitzvaso, it's not just, did you, the gavra, fulfill a mitzvah? But was the cheftza that screaming out for sreifa, was it burned? That only applies to Rabbi Yehuda sreifa, right? The in hetter the nasas mitzvaso beinan dafka she nasas mitzvaso b'chefsa oz nitra chametz v'lo kisha bailim kimu mitzvah deramya alayu ye nitra b'chefsa. It's not about fulfilling a mitzvah. According to the Rabbanan, you fulfill a mitzvah when you destroy it in any other way, but that's not called nasas mitzvaso. V'yalkein shaber mechalik atur, and that's the tour's chiluk between hashpasaso b'chol davar, which does not create nasas mitzvaso, which would matter the Efer, versus the Rabbanan. Im hashpasaso b'chol davar, rak ha'bailim kimu ha'mitzvah she'en lam chametz, v'yalkein lo hutar ha'efer. Masha'en kein, im mitzvaso b'sreifa, the nasa mitzvah b'chefza. V'avi nasa mitzvaso, al'kein hutar ha'efer. That's the answer to Rabbi Kiva Eger's chilek. So if you have that, so then you also answer the original question of why the Rambam thinks that Rabbi Yematzeh is a lache'en b'maisa, but he doesn't call it a lava nitak la'aseh. He says that Gemara, that in the end of Psachim, which is not clear at all there, but that Gemara that calls Bal Rabbi Yematzeh Alav Anitak La'aseh, that's only Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say that's Alav Anitak La'aseh, because there's a mitzvah to burn the chametz. There's a mitzvah in the item to burn the chametz. The Rabbanan would not call it Alav Anitak La'aseh, because Hashpasas B'chol Davar is not an active aseh. It's just the result, the totsah that is required. Lufiza Mishavim Dehete Devei Rambam. If you say mitzvah b'sreifa, so then the mitzvah is begufa chefetz, and it will be a lav anitak la'aseh, like sreifas nosar, and that would be what the Gemara is talking about by calling it a lav anitak la'aseh. So, even though yesterday we saw the Mishnah Tzmura, and we saw the Tosfos there, that's b'chalik between nasas mitzvaso and lo nasas mitzvaso, it's not just about whether you burn it or not. It's not just about whether you fulfill the mitzvah or not. It's about whether there was a kiyum of the destiny of this item is to be burned, and that's where there will be a fundamental chiluk between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's not just about how do you destroy the chametz. No. It's about what do you have to do with the chametz. Is there a maisa sreifa that's mechuyev, or is it just result-oriented? That's the Reb Chaim relating to burning chametz, which relates to burning kelei akerim, which we had the two stories yesterday, the two versions of the story of Reb Yochanan ben Nuri. He burned the kelei akerim. Why? Was it piskei aris, or was it between the aris, was it between the vine and the wall? So we had those two stories yesterday. Okay, we are four lines to the bottom here, daf samach amabes. Haperach hayosim en aris. So remember we said, if you have a branch, one of the vines that is sticking out of the aris, right? You have the vines on the wall, but one of them is shooting out from the aris. So the halachi is, taman amar, over there, meaning in Bavel. Because we are now in the world of Yerushalmi. We are in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have B'ma'arava Amri, right? That's the, so here. Taman Amri, over there in Bavel, Atro Akilu Shpudshom Atechas Tachubo. In Bavel, you know what they said? If you have a vine that's sticking away from a wall, and it's drooping, so the way that you measure, and we said you're not allowed to plant any zrum under it, but the way that you measure it is, you don't go by where it is, but it's drooping. You pretend, ki'ilu, if it would have a metal pole in it that would stick out, and the vine would be able to be straight out supported, that's the shear that you're not allowed to plant under. And therefore, even though it's drooping, it doesn't reach out that far, but you envision as if it's stretched and straight out, as if you have a shpud shel mataches, a metal spit sticking out, and it extends further, and that's the area that you're not allowed to plant under. Shimon Barba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, right, who is the Marat Asra of Eretz Yisrael, says no, and welcome shu Nakman. No, until the place that it's Nakman. What's Nakman? Until it droops, meaning you go by where exactly it is hanging. That's all that you have to worry about. The Girsa of the Rasirlio, and welcome shu Nikmaz, right, or Nikmats, right, wherever it is. You don't view it as if it is stretched out. Good, so it's usher to plant under that vine that's sticking out. We mentioned also that the question is, do you have to go six tfachim away from that vine also? You're not allowed to plant under that vine that's sticking out of the wall, but do you have to go six tfachim from there? Or, I mean, if the vine is within six tfachim of the ikker vine, the wall, that doesn't make much of a difference. But what if the vine really sticks out? So it's also to plant under this vine, even if it sticks out more than six tfachim from the base. But does that aser b'dieved, what's under it? Would you have to have distance from there? So that's what we're going to talk about here. So Rav Chama Baruch v'b'shem Rav Yosi ben Chanina, taches v'eshkolos aser u'mekadesh, under the vine that's sticking out. This is how one of the Mefarshim reads the Gemara. If it's all the way sticking out, everything under it is aser, and it would be Mekadesh. It would aser. It's not just aser to do, but it would be Mekadesh and make aser what's under it. Tachas ha'alin lo. But only under the actual grapes. Under the leaves and the branches of the clusters, there's no aser. There's no aser. Amar Rabbi Yosi, afilu tachas ha'alin aser Mekadesh. Rabbi Yosi says, no. Even under the alin, even under the branches and the leaves, that's also part of the vine. And if it's part of vine, then you can't plant under it. And if you did, it would be mikdash. Good. Hadra l'alach ezeu aris. That takes us through the sixth parak, all about aris, where you have vines sticking on walls and sticking on lattice works and pergolas and poles, as we have said. Just the word shpud shel mateches here, that comes up one place in Mishnayos, just to mention it. Where does shpud come up? You're not allowed to use a shpud shel mateches in this context. Right, that comes up in Psachim. In Psachim, where the Mishnah says, in the beginning of the seventh parak in Psachim, beginning of the seventh parak in Psachim, the Ketzat Solon, beginning of Ketzat Solon, Ayin Gimel Mabez in the Bavli, Ayin Dalar Malav. Ketzat Solon as a Pesach. How do you roast the current Pesach? Mevi'in Shbud Shel Rimon. Right, you bring the spit of pomegranate tree, meaning wood. You got to bring a wood, but you have to roast the Karban Pesach whole. So you bring a spit, you put it straight through the animal, and then you roast it whole. V'tofo l'toch piv, ad beis tenu kuvaso, v'rosei dekrov ez b'nei av l'tocho, di Rabbi Yosef Gluvi. Rabbi Kiva omer kemen bishul uzeh. No, you can't have everything inside, ala tolen chutzalo. You got to put the innards outside, because inside it will be like cooking it. Okay, but anyway, you put the shvut straight through and you cook it. The Gemara there says, you cannot use a shvut shel mateches, right? Our Gemara says, you view it as if you use shvut shel mateches and the vine's hanging on it, but the Gemara there says, I guess shvut shel mateches was easier to come by. So the Gemara says there, ayin dalan ma'alef in the bavliim sachim, v'nesi shel mateches, why don't you use a metal spit? Maybe that's easier to burn on, says the Gemara, no. I did the cham iksaso cham kulo, the kamati machmas ashbut, rachwana amr tzli eish, vlo tzli machmas davar acher. If you cook it in the metal, then the metal is going to get burning hot, and then the animal is going to get cooked from the metal of the shbud, and not only from the fire. And the Korban Pesach has to be tzli eish, not tzli shbud shal mateches. And that's why you're not allowed to use a shbud shal mateches over there by Korban Pesach. Though you are allowed to, obviously, the Gemara must be a more common shvud, because that's the one that our Gemara mentions. And then it says, why don't you use a different type of wood? But that's the Gemara Im Sachem, right? Roasting the Karban Pesach whole. You take the whole Karban Pesach and you roast the whole thing whole. Just one other machlokas, which I love to quote, and that is machlokas in Perek Yud of Hilchos Karban Pesach between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says that when you roast the whole Karban Pesach, you roast it whole, and you don't even take out the Gedanasha beforehand. Right, that's the halacha, you roast it whole. The same Hashem that told you not to eat Gedanasha tells you to roast the Karban Pesach whole. So the Rambam, Kshadam ochel as a pesach, chotecha basar va ochel va chotecha atzamos ben aperak, umafarkan emrotza, you eat the Karban Pesach, ukshe yagia le Gedanasha, and as you're eating it, when you get to the Gedanasha, what's it doing there? It must be it's still there. You're not allowed to eat it. So kshe yagia le Gedanasha, motzio, you take it out, umanicho imshar hagidim va atzamos va krumos she yotzim b'shas achila. You take it out with all the other gidim and all the other sinews and bones that you take out while you eat it. So you take out the Karban Pesach while you eat it. Shein menachen oso kishar habasar. You don't take it out beforehand like other meat. Ve'machatken oso. El etzolin oso shalem. Right? You roast it whole. That's the Rambam here. Says the Ravid, Amar Avram, b'chaye roshi, ein iser gadol mizeh, sheyitzla pesach im gidanasha. It's impossible, right? You roast the Karban Pesach with the gidanasha, and the taste going in, v'im shamno, v'in tarba, the tute masni, v'im kromo shebarosh, and all the fats that are around the Karban Pesach, and all the usher fats, how can you do that? Vim ezke v'ocha pesach v'yavi lefanai kazeh ha'isi chovto b'karka lefanav. If the Rambam shared his Karban Pesach with me, I'd take it and throw it on the floor. Right? If I'm zoche to... So the Kesem Mishnah just notes the Ravi not being fair. The Rambam says, the Rambam doesn't say that all the fats that are around, all the chalev and all that, you don't have that you take out. Only the Gidanasha itself. Why? Because the Gemara says, ein begidim eno sein tam. The Gidanasha is some type of sinew that's not no Saint Tom, it doesn't give off taste. So the Gidanasha itself, you can leave in there. Usually we take it out, maybe because there's fats around it, and our minog is to take out the whole thing, because you don't want to get into trouble. Yesh lomer delo, Allah al das, sherabenu matir litzloso im chelef ha'asr min ha'torah. The Rambam never said that. Elim Gidanasha, shein begidim no Saint Tom. Vishimno she'ein bo iser, but there's some type of shuman that's not usser, but maybe it's a little confusing a little bit with chaylev. So usually Yisrael kedoshim nagu bo iser. So Yisrael take it out. Ube pesach lo nagu, kedesha lo yavo lechatech bo ever. Right, because it's a chumer does the day coolie. Don't want to take it out. Ava chaylev ha'asr menakrim oso, but the asr chaylev, non-kosher fat, of course you take it out. Befilu achutim akromos asurim, mishum chaylev asir nosan. You'll take out plenty, right? The Ravid. The Rambam's not saying you leave out everything in the area just to get an usher itself. So that's again, if it was on the Shput Shel Rimon, but he still would not be happy with the get an usher. Okay. Hadrolach Eso Aris, so we get into the next parak. Hamavrich. Seventh parak. Hamavrich es agefen baritz. What's Mavrich? Havracha. Havracha. Let's say I have a vine, and I want my vine, I have it on one side of the road. But I also want the vine to be on the other side of the road. But I don't want to replant the whole thing. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take a vine, stick it in the ground, run it under the ground, and pick it up on the other side. Pick it up on the other side. Am I allowed to plant in the middle on top of that vine? Might let a plant in the middle. Hamavrich es hagefen baaretz. If I stick a gefen, if I stick a vine into the ground, right? Where does the word mavrich come from? From like the word berach. It bends like a knee, right? A berach. The Rasilio says it's from the word like vayavrech hagamalim. Right? When Eliezer made his camels lie down, they bend their knees. Vayavrech hagamalim. The camels have a couple of knees, but the right, you put it down. Shekofev zemuras hagefen bakarka. Right? You cover the vines in the ground. Vekisos ba'afar. And you move it, right? Mara folda va'overes ha'avracha chus l'shisha tvachim. And you have to say, this is based on the Rishonim, and you pull it out more than six tvachim away from where you started, right? Because if it's within six tvachim, then you can't plant there anyway because it's within six tvachim of the vine that's above ground. But let's say you stretched it on the ground, under the ground, for more than six tvachim away from the vine. Could you plant there? Can you plant there? Meaning, what are you worried about? You're not worried about the vine that's more than six tefachim away. But what about you worried about right what's under it, right there? So Amarez Agevin Baaretz Im Afar Al Gab Ein Im Ein Afar Al Gab Shlosha Tefachim. If you don't have three tefachim deep of dirt, Lo Yavi Zera Le, then you can't plant there. You can't plant there, and as we'll see in the Gemara, why? Because you worry that the roots of the Zrayim are going to go straight down and infiltrate and go inside the roots of the vine, and therefore there's going to be kelayim right there. Right, the roots are going to intertwine and go even go in. Afilu avricha b'dalazo basilon. Even if I put my vine in a type of pipe, but what type of pipe? It's a pipe that is not solid. In a gourd, let's say I hollowed out a watermelon and I put the grapes, the vine straight through. Obesilon, or a type of pipe, but as we'll see, made of cheres, of earthenware. Both of those are penetrable, and therefore that doesn't help. If there aren't three tvachim of dirt on top, it still doesn't work. Hivricha besela, but what if I have like a stone pipe or a stone that the vine is going underneath the stone, so the zera on top is not going to penetrate the stone? Then avol bishena for al gabel shalosh's boats. Even if there's only three finger breaths of dirt on top of the vine, because there's a rock in between, mutalavi zera aleha, then you can bring the zera. You can plant on top, because it's not going to combine. The Mefarshim discuss, is it literally, do you have to have at least three etzbos? What if you have less than three etzbos? Is that just saying like a tiny shear, right? Or it's just, it won't grow. You're not going to plant in less than three etzbos. Not because of an isser, just because of a mitzias. It's not going to grow with such little dirt. We'll have to talk to the gardener, the Shabanu, right, relating to this. Okay, ha'arkuba shebegefen. What happens if you have an arkuba? That means, let's say, an L-shaped. You have a vine. It's growing, and when it gets above the ground, instead of going straight up, it bends. It bends and like takes a left, right? And then it goes up. Then it goes up. So there's a bend. So where do you measure the six tefachim from? What do you measure? Where it comes out of the ground, but then it goes horizontally, and then it goes up vertically. So it has the place where it came out of the ground and the place where it goes up. Arkubah shebegefen, emod din elam ikar hasheni. You only measure from where it went up. Where it went up, not where it gets out of the ground, but where it starts going up, that's the ikker space. Good. Says the Gemara lo yavi zera aleha. So what did the Mishnah say? That if it doesn't have three tvachim, you cannot plant on top of it. You know exactly where the vine is in the ground. You cannot plant zraim on top of that vine. Haminatzad mutter. But it sounds like you don't need six tvachim from there. You don't need six tvachim in all the directions. So it's mutter min atzad. If I know where the vine is, I can go right next to it and plant there. So ma'ana kayamim. So first of all, what are we worried about in our Mishnah? We're worried about the roots integrating. So imishum zroim bi'ilan. Are we worried about zroim, the seeds, let's say wheat or vegetables, in a tree, right? The grafting that the roots are going to go in and it's going to be a graft. Lamali gefen. So why is this Mishnah here in the seventh parak? Right? Grafting is ushered by all trees, not just vines. So afilu shar kal ilan, then all trees, you shouldn't be able to, let's say you have a root of a tree that's underground, that's less than three tvachim. So it should be the usher. Imi shema avoda, and if it's specific vine issue, and we're talking about the avodas hagefen, as we said, that you're not allowed to plant within proximity, so then it's the shisha. Well, we know six tvachim is the shear of one vine, not three. Six tvachim, so, and it should be usher, shouldn't be mutter on the side, because you go six tvachim in all directions from where this vine is in the ground. So why should three tefachim be the shear? So Ella, Rabbi Akiva. Maybe our mission is like Rabbi Akiva. We had Rabbi Akiva. Remember, we had a week or so ago. Rabbi Akiva Amar Shlosh. Rabbi Akiva argued on everything we've said in this Masechta till now regarding this halacha. We've always said six tefachim from one vine, four amos from a vineyard. Rabbi Akiva argues three tefachim from a vine. So maybe our mission is like it's dafka a vine. It's talking about the avodah sakarim, but it's three tefachim. So Gemara says. In Rabbi Akiva, if it's like Rabbi Akiva, afilu minasan is lishlosha. If it's Rabbi Akiva, then still you have a problem. Because what is what do we medai from the Mishnah? Only right on top. You gotta have three tvachim, distance. But you can plant right on the side of it. No problem. But what do you mean? If it's Rabbi Akiva, you need three tvachim too. Right? So that doesn't work. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah, b'shem Rabbi Chiya, b'shem Bar Abba, mishum zroyim al gabi agefen. Right, what are we talking about? It's like the Rabbanan, it's like Rabbi Akiva. Not like Rabbi Akiva. And it's Dafka Geffen. The problem is that, and the Gemara here doesn't explain it, you have to go into the Rishonim in the Bavli to understand this, it's Dafka Geffen, and only Geffen are you worried about the penetrability, if that's a word, of the Zraim, because a Geffen has very soft roots. And therefore, Zraim on top will go into those other roots. But by other types of trees, the roots are stronger, and therefore there's not going to be, you don't have to worry about grafting. There's not going to be any grafting. Tosfos, Baba Basra, Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Tosfos says, V'yomeri, this Mishnah, our Mishnah is quoted there in Baba Basra Yud Tes. That's why the Rishonim there discuss it. Says the Tosfos, V'yomeri, Deshar Ilanos, Shehein Kushin, other trees have strong roots. Mutter Lizroa Al Gabav, Kenegad Shorish. You could plant right on top. You're not worried that the wheat or the vegetables' roots are going to penetrate into the roots of the tree. And remember, a tree is only grafting. That's the only issue by Kilea Elon. So that's why, by other trees, you're not worried. Aval Geffen, Shehu Rach, but vines which have soft roots, Chayshinan. Therefore, you're worried. Right, and that's V'hai Piruka Matzaribi Yerushalmi, the Gemara Dahach Mishnah. And the Re found this Pshat in the Yerushalmi. That's this line that we just read. Right? It doesn't say it Befeirish here, but this line that we just read, it says that it's only by Geffen. Why is it only by Geffen? There's obviously a difference about the roots of the Geffen. That's what is said. And it's also the assumption is that the roots only go straight down. That's the assumption as well. Good. Taman Taninan. So why was this Mishnah brought in Baba Basra over there? Because of the following. Taman Taninan, we learned over there, Baba Basra, on Daf Yud Zayin, we learned, let's say I have a wall of, my friend has a wall right next to my property. So there are certain things I'm not allowed to do close to my friend's wall, even though it's in my property. Right? That's the whole topic of the second parak of Baba Basra, what's called Harchakas Nizakin. I have to do certain distancing in my own rishus. It's my yard. What's the problem? No. I'm not allowed to do things because I could damage my friend if I do certain things within proximity of his wall. So Marchikin says, Zeroyim, I can't plant so close to his wall. Ves Amachresha, I can't plow so close to his wall. Ves Meiraglayim, I can't pour urine so close to his wall. Minakos HaShlosh HaTvachim. We're going to see why. Why can't I do that? So the Gemara's Havamina is that why can't you plant so close to the wall? Because the roots are going to go horizontal, go into the wall, and ruin the wall. So that's the Hav. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar Reb Chama Bar Ukvi Makshi. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a stira from our Gemara, from our Mishnah to that Mishnah. Taman, but he asked the question over there. So Taman, which means there, really means here in Kelayim. So Taman in our Mishnah, Atamar Ein Hashrashim Halchem Natsad. Our Mishnah is Mashma, that the roots don't go sideways, right? Because what does our Gemara say? You're only not allowed to plant Zroyim on top of the roots. But if it's next sides of the roots, it's okay. Why? Because we assume roots go straight down. And over there in Baba Basra, you're not allowed to plant within three tvachim of your friend's wall. Why? Mistama, because you're worried the roots are going to go sideways and soften the earth and take away the foundations of the wall. So, stira, do roots go straight down or do roots go across? Rabbi Yossi says, no. We're not worried that the root, it's like our Mishnah. Roots go straight down. That's not what we're worried about. Kan v'kan en ashrashim alchem natsad. Over there, we're not worried that the roots are going to go sideways, but it's just even if you plant here, el ashein osin afer tichoach. Vehin malkin ariso shel kosel. No, even if you plant here, not that the roots are going to go, even if the roots go straight down, it's going to soften the earth all around it. And if it's going to soften the earth, so then, even within three tvachim, the roots are going to go straight down, but the earth is going to be softened, and therefore, that's why it is usur there. And the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you that it's not about the roots. Because what about the two other things in the Mishnah? Right? Okay, Zeraim has roots. The other two things don't have roots. Teda l'chashu kein, t'tanina taman mei raglayim. Right, within three tvachim. Well, mei raglayim, achim and atzad, what, that goes sideways? It goes straight down. You pour the mei raglayim, it goes straight down into the ground. So, you see, it's not worried about anything going sideways. You're worried about this will soften the earth. And what about the other one? Hesiv Reb Yossi Barbun. Vehad taninan. Right? We also learned, Machresha. Islacha Meir Machresha Malachas Ben Atzad. Does a plow go sideways? The plow goes exactly where you are. So, based on the other two items in the Mishnah, so you see that we're not worried about the roots going sideways. We're just worried about softening the earth. So, therefore, there is no steer up between the... between the two. There is no stira between the two, and it's hard even to imagine what was the stira, right? It's a totally different, context and a totally different reason that we have there. Again, all the Rishonim there discuss these two issues about you're worried about the roots, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba there and Baal Basri Yates discuss this, but we have to continue now. Bafilo Hivricha Bedalazo Basilon. The Mishnah said, even if I would put the vine into a pipe of a kind, in a gourd or a pipe of a silon, that also would be usur. Why? Because it's going to penetrate. So how did the same Rabbi Silon Shalcheres? That only applies by a silon of cheres, of earthenware, because then it's going to penetrate. Have a basilon shal avar. You have a metal pipe. A metal pipe. Then you don't need three tvachim above if it's a metal pipe, because that's like stone. That's like stone, and therefore it's not going to penetrate. What about a wood? What about a wooden pipe? That's a question. The Tur had a girsa. Wooden pipe is okay. The Mefarshim aren't sure about it, but that's unclear. One more line. Ibricha b'sela. But if you put it in with a rock in between, that's for sure okay. Hada detema ba'din salma. That's only by solid rock. Or Salma is like from the word sunma. Baramba hadin rechicha. But if you have soft and brittle rock that could be, you know, penetrated, so mis paspasi, it crumbles. It crumbles from the word the Marafolda says from the word pasos osapitim, like we have at the beginning of Ayikra. It crumbles, right? And therefore, that's not going to be good enough. Period. I guess we'll have to stop here, but maybe tomorrow we'll start with the Rambam Ramban, like we'd like to discuss why Lashon HaKodesh is called Lashon HaKodesh, and Mei Raglayim just says water of the legs. That's what we call Mei Raglayim in Hebrew. There's no other words. Maybe we'll start with that, about the Lashon HaKodesh definition, and then we will continue with the seventh parak of Maseches Kehilim.